In 3, 2, 1. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Knowledge is Power, your weekly recap of obscure and not so obscure news from the internets and beyond.
From Chicago, I'm Eric Munn.
And from New York, I'm Greg Rutter. Eric, let me be the first to say it's good to have you back.
Thank you. And let me be the first to say Grandma Poop Pants.
You are the first one. So what happened last week? Where were you last week? We had Andy Rohrkamper fill in.
Andy, great job. Good job, Andy. I'd like to.
Yeah, Andy did a great job.
Give him a little clap.
I'm very impressed with him. I wish he'd sat a little closer to the microphone so that everyone could
have... Yeah, I wish you wouldn't have let him do his from a cave. But
he was actually just screaming it from across the room. I'm surprised it got on at all, and I'm sad that it did, to be honest. Yeah. That was the whole reason why he sat across the room. He was on timeout.
I was in L.A.
Wow.
And that was very interesting. The reason I was in L.A. is Andrea, my girlfriend, her brother graduated from Caltech with his doctorate in physics. Now, if you ever want to feel like an idiot, go to a Caltech graduation because, you know, these students are receiving awards like all normal graduation ceremonies happen. You know, it's like, oh, this we're going to give an award to the student that, you know, was on the most committees or whatever and so forth. They gave an award to a kid that his freshman year of college, the summer of his freshman year, he was a graduate assistant to someone, and they said, well, here's an 80-year-old math problem we haven't been able to solve. If you can get anywhere on it or, you know, find some help, that'd be great. And the kid solved it, you know, in like 2 months.
I mean, is Andrew's brother Goodwill Hunting?
No. he's very smart, yes, but he's now like psycho that beats people up and then, you know, cries about it later. He just beats people up.
He just beats people up for money.
No, he's very smart, and I mean it's probably the awesomest campus I've ever been to because everyone is studying or doing research. You know, they don't have a football team, and they don't get crazy drunk and, you know, run around campus. So their campus there, dude, they had, like, those koi ponds, you know, with those giant, like, goldfish.
Yeah, the huge giant fish.
Yeah, and then, like, they'd have, like, turtles roaming around the campus and stuff. I'm just like, this is awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah, dude. And it's because it's also L.A. It's, like, perfect weather. So, you know, they don't have to worry about it ever getting cold, like, at Michigan, where... I'll admit, our campus is cool when it's warm. When it's cold, you don't want to leave your house.
You're like, okay, can't live.
Can't live outside.
This is not conducive to learning at all.
But the best thing about L.A., and it's not in Chicago, so you need to tell me if it's in New York at all. Diagonal crosswalks?
Mm. Yeah, we have a few of those, but...
I think that's
California
the hottest thing in the world.
Where
in
every,
LA,
those are the ones. Are you talking about the same ones where, like, you know, oh, now you're gonna go, and then the other side of traffic's gonna go, but then no traffic goes, and so you can just like everyone
and
walk.
Everyone, yeah. So it's not like if the street going east west has a green light, the people walking east west have a walk. They don't. They have a don't walk. It's a don't walk for everyone. For both, as both lanes of traffic move, but then no traffic goes your right, and everyone can walk east, west, north, south. But then they can also diagonally cross. I think it's the hottest thing because that's the worst thing about Chicago is having to wait at a crosswalk.
Is having to walk across the street
twice.
In Los Angeles, everyone rides valets. There's places where, you know, valets come out and park your cars. The rest of the time, you just ride a valet. You give them a tip, and they take you where you need to go if you don't have a car.
Everywhere. How about you? How was your week?
My week was good. I went to my friend had a gallery opening this week, and I missed the opening, but he gave an artist talk last night, and I went to that, and that was a lot of fun. If you're in the New York area, check out Exit. Where you can see Michael Neff and his gallery is open there.
Is he paint, draw?
He's photography.
Like stencil or photography. That's
he uses a macaroni and glue and paper plates.
makes the coolest pencil holders.
Just the most beautiful macaroni and pencil holders. Just for holding macaroni and pencils, actually.
I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. It's a macaroni holder with pencils in it,
which I've never gotten before, and I can't even tell you like how helpful it is to have that finally. So that was a lot of fun, and we went out and barbecued on my friend's roof, and it was gorgeous. Like we got to, the weather was nice, and we got to sit in the sunset and drink booze, and yesterday was great.
Awesome. Yeah, yesterday was very cool for me as well because today is my birthday and yesterday was
It is your birthday today?
Today is my birthday.
I had no idea. I'm a fucking asshole. I'm an asshole.
I didn't know if you were saving it for your pimp, but I didn't know, so I was like,
Eric Munn, I am the worst friend. I am the worst podcasting friend. I am the worst podcast friend in the whole world. I feel absolutely awful.
Don't worry.
I had no idea.
I was very bad about, because I didn't want to be that idiot that tells people, hey, my birthday's coming up. Like, okay, thanks for telling me. I'm still not going to get you a present, So I didn't tell anyone, really. And apparently people found out somehow, I'm guessing from Andrea. But I had a bunch of friends call me up that were like, what do we do for your birthday? I was like, oh, I don't even know. So we kind of threw an impromptu party last night that went great. It was really fun, and I want to thank everyone for coming out. It was real cool.
Oh, I feel so bad. I'm sorry, man.
Don't. It's okay.
It's okay.
I remember when you Greg gave me a great birthday gift in college cognac or something like that, right?
Yeah, the Mercau.
Yeah, that stuff was good.
No, even better than that was the, I don't know if you remember this.
King Dong?
King Dong ice cream cake. it was an ice cream cake that said King Dong on it. I still... Okay.
Oh,
wow. All right, let's get to the newseries.
What a great week. Honestly, Greg, I felt I had to shave like 3 stories. I thought this was a great news week. A lot of stuff. Very difficult. Please check out our Delicious pages because I put up a lot of stuff. I think a lot of funny, cool stuff happened this week. And, picking 3 out of it is very difficult. So.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, Eric, as always, you've got the first story.
Okay, my first story comes out of Whitley County, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Apparently, in Fort Wayne, 2 neighbors got into a little argument. And what happened is the one neighbor apparently shot the other neighbor's dog. And
what?
So
okay.
This guy puts up a sign. We'll call them Neighbor A and Neighbor B, so this way it'll be easier. Neighbor A shot Neighbor B's dog. So Neighbor B puts a huge sign on the front of his house that reads, "My neighbor Larry Schrock, house on left, up on hill, shot my dog, then burned it. What a piece of shit." And so Larry puts a sign up on his yard that says, "Neighbor's dog killed my pet bunnies. Scared my granddaughter. I warned him twice." And then the guy retorts with another sign in his yard that says, "Grandkid, that was not mentioned in police report. No rabbits were harmed, Larry. You shot my dog, Jake, and threw him in an incinerator. Worthless, low-life scum." I think this is hilarious. I think this is the funniest because, if we look at, our society and how we view things now, the reason we love reality TV is because we like to watch people argue. We like to see their problems. And these two are just doing it themselves. They're putting their argument out there for the world to see. And I think it's hilarious. I mean, I feel bad for the guy because his dog was shot. But at the same time, I think he's doing this really, like, immature, I'm going to tell everyone about you type thing. You know, I don't know.
This is ridiculous. I can't believe this is, like, in the newspaper. This is the newspaper, Eric. Like, they're putting up signs to, like, one up each other and be like, you're an asshole. No, you're a bigger asshole. No, you are. No, you are.
Well, that's what I love about this whole thing is it's just, I mean, instead of just one sign, there's back and forth signs.
Right. So
like, that's what's hilarious. I mean, I wish this was like in real marketing and advertising. You know, like Coca-Cola puts something up that's like, Coca-Cola tastes better. And then Pepsi puts one up. It's like, well, Coca-Cola uses, you know, bad sugar. Coca-Cola's response is, we use bad sugar. You use, you know, bad cans. You know, I think this is hilarious.
And it's not even like, so if you're driving by this guy's house and it says, like, my neighbor, blah, 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 he got shot my dog, you what a piece of shit. And then, you know, and then you drive down the road and, like, this guy has, like, the retort sign, you know, obviously. So if you're back at the first house and you see, like, the retort to the retort to the retort.
Exactly.
It's like, you're like, who exactly are you writing this to? Like, they're just talking to each other. They're not even, like, trying to, like, you know, educate, like, people driving by or, like.
Not at all. And instead of working this out, like, hey, let's talk about our argument to each other, they decide, let's just write signs and do this, like, old-fashioned, weird kind of version of smoke signals where it's just like, I'm going to write on my yard what I have to say to you. I'm not going to use the phone.
I have problems with you, but I'm, you know, we've obviously tried taking this through the judicial system, and that's not working, so I'm going to make a big red sign. This is ridiculous. That's America.
Thanks, Fort Wayne.
That's America.
That is America. It's America that someone shot someone else's dog.
Yeah.
That's America.
And then burned it.
So weird.
The whole thing is like, you're like, oh, this guy shot his dog. Like, what a psycho. And then burned it. Wow. What a real weirdo. Oh, but he was killing rabbits and like scaring kids. Like, okay, well that makes kind of sense. But I don't need to burn it. That's a funny story. Good story, Eric.
Thank you.
All right, my first story is mixing Diet Coke and Mentos makes a gusher of publicity. This is in the Wall Street Journal. What do you get if you mix Mentos mints candies and Diet Coke? A science experiment. B a liquid mess. C, a marketing coup. For Mentos, at least, the answer is a resounding C. So, I don't know if you've seen this viral video that's kind of been passed around by EP Bird. Is the name of the site where it's being hosted. But basically, all it is two guys in lab coats that drop the Mentos mints into 2-liter bottles of Diet Coke. And when you do that, like, it's this huge geyser of foam, basically.
Now, I may not have. I thought I put this on our Delicious page quite some time ago. Because, yeah, I saw this online, and I just found out that they were actually reenacting the Bellagio fountain in Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. So these EP Bird guys put together this viral video that's this really elaborate fountain that they kind of run around and do. And it, like I said, it reenacts the Bellagio fountain in Las Vegas. Very cool video. And when I first saw it, I'm a cynical asshole, I was like, oh, this is a viral marketing effort from these two companies. But it turns out it wasn't. It was just it was like a legitimate kind of thing.
Did you try it?
I have not.
I haven't either. You would think that everyone who watches would be like, really? I'm going to do this. Yeah. But I didn't ever try it.
Yeah. I thought it was really cool. And it was like, but like two nights before someone else had talked about it. And I was like, has this been known for like a long time? And I'm just like out of the loop.
I don't know.
But anyway, so it got passed around and it's huge, 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 hugely popular. And these EP Bird guys, not just them, but kind of lots and lots of other, like YouTube has lots and lots of these videos. And it's cool. It's a cool thing. And so I thought it was a viral marketing, and it's not. But Mentos is all excited about it. Like, cause they don't, I mean, their ads are shit. Because they don't have like these, they don't have a huge advertising.
Because they forgot that this is America, not Sweden.
Right.
Like you watch their ads and you're like, what are you doing?
What's going on?
In their ad.
So they only spend about 20 million to advertise in the U.S. annually, which is really really small to advertise annually. But whereas Diet Coke spends, you know, 20 times that, 30 times that. And so they're all like...
A day.
Yeah, and so they just don't care. So Mentos was all excited about it, but Diet Coke was not. But I don't know. I wanted to see what you thought of, like, the whole thing.
I mean, I think it's awesome. I think it's weird that Diet Coke's upset about
it. They're not upset. They're just like, yeah, go ahead. If you guys really want to do this, like, go ahead. But no skin off our teeth.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really cool looking. I mean, science is cool. I'm a nerd, I'm not gonna lie. I think science is awesome, and so I'm really surprised Diet Coke didn't jump in on this, because you can, you know, get the whole kids thing. I mean, do you remember those science fair projects where you kind of like tape two liters together and you spin it so it looks like it creates a tornado? Yeah. Or like a funnel?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the awesomest, it was the cheapest, stupidest thing in the world, but everyone loved it. You know, whoever did that at the science fair had the most popular table, besides the kid with the baby chick incubator. But, you know,
that
this,
was me.
I think that, you know, this is awesome. I like that Mentos jumped in on it. I think it's great that, I mean, we've talked about this on many of our podcasts and so forth. You know, the internet and YouTube and this, you know, whole underground, I don't know if it's underground, but this different area of marketing really works. You know, these videos are emailed to everyone. I mean, everyone gets these forwards at some point. I mean, it's hilarious how I'll get an email from my girlfriend and 3 weeks later get that same email from my dad.
Yeah.
You know, two very different people that I wouldn't think, you know, see or view the same stuff, but you know, these videos get passed around because they have enough attention. They get enough attention. I think it's great that Mentos jumped on.
Yeah, at the same time, like, it's not really. I'm not like you said. Like, I'm not rushing out and buying a ton of Mentos and a ton of.
Yeah, yeah, that is weird.
I'm definitely not moving product off the shelf.
But what I have to admit, what it then does. The next time I'm at the store. And it's like, oh, I need some gum. I might end up grabbing some Mentos because I might want to throw it in some Diet Coke and see what happens.
It's the first time I've ever said, like, hey, look at this cool video from Mentos. You know, the Fresh Maker fucking candy. Like, it's the
Remember them?
Everyone. I think,
hilarious. Yeah. Right. Good story.
So that's my story.
All right. My second story comes out of Minnesota. A 3-year-old's birthday party theme. Ready? News Hour with Jim Lehrer.
What?
So pretty much this family, this husband and wife, they have a 3-year-old son, and they wanted him, you know, they said, hey, your birthday's coming up. What do you want to do for your birthday? And because the parents are jerks, they don't let them watch, like, Sesame Street in the morning. They force their 3-year-old to watch NewsHour with Jim Lehrer. And so he's become accustomed to that. And so he wanted to throw a NewsHour with Jim Lehrer birthday party. So they got this cake that has a picture of the cast and hats with Jim Lehrer on them. And the kid even got a signed photo from Jim Lehrer. I mean, it just, I almost put these people in the hose category, because honestly, I understand. I mean, if my kid was, you know, if I said, hey, you want to throw a themed birthday party, and he's like, I want everyone to dress up like an egg, I'm not going to invite everyone and tell them, by the way, you need to come dressed as an egg, because that's what my son wants. I mean, how horrible. I mean, could you imagine going to some kid's birthday party and going, who is this 50-year-old man on your cake?
I like that. They have, so he's on the cake.
This is
so they have, like,
weird.
They have, like, fancy invitations and, like, Henry's third birthday party. And he's got, like, Jim Iyer with Newt Jim Lair. And then he's, like, they have, like, a picture of Jim Lair on, like, the birthday hats.
I just, they don't even have the kid's face on the birthday cake. They have Jim Lair's NewsHour cast on the birthday. I think that's weird and stupid. I thought this was hilarious. I can't believe that some family did that.
I feel so bad for the kid. Like, all his friends are like, who's this? Who?
Exactly. I mean, the worst thing, too, though, is now he's, like, ruined for life for presence-wise. Because, you know, like, next year, all his aunts and uncles are going to give him Jim Lair stuff for, like, the next 8 years. They're going to be like, when you were a little boy, you loved Jim Lair. Here's a Jim Lair t-shirt. You know, and he's going to be 17, like, okay, I get it. I'm done with this.
No, I get it, you guys. I'm, Jim Lair's pretty cool. Like, you know, he gives, like, really good, thoughtful analysis on kind of what's happening. But I like watching the show. It's not a birthday present, not a birthday celebration. And poor Jim Lair just has to like, I usually don't get requests for autographs, really, but I'd get.
Exactly. I wonder what he thought.
To sign this for your birthday party.
I'm glad that my first autograph request in 10 years is from a 3-year-old. Great. My career is amazing.
Yeah. You know, this kid is going back to eating Cheerios out of a sippy cup, and then he can hang my picture on the wall that I signed. So that's great. Thanks a lot. This is what I worked so hard for. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
That's so funny. All right, my next story is Spider-Man outs himself to the press. For a comic book hero, it's the ultimate taboo. In the latest edition of the Marvel comic Civil War on sale in the Spider-Man Chronicles, Spider-Man does the unthinkable and removes his Spidey mask to reveal publicly his hidden identity. So the basic story behind this is the Spider-Man comic people had Spider-Man reveal his identity to the public at large. So now everyone knows that he's Peter Parker. Which is sort
of, that's
which isn't it? It's sort of like
crazy.
The ultimate, like, not
that. That's usually like the final episode, you know, thing. I mean, how do they really plan on making more? Because once the identity's revealed, then I mean, there's so much we can go into so
nerdery
much talk right now, and I can explain that, you know, once the identity is revealed, the bad guy knows what family members that they can steal, or they know what work you're at and so forth. I mean, it just seems it also takes the whole idea out of a superhero. You know, like now it's like, oh yeah, that's Peter Parker. Yeah,
right.
Whatever.
Well, I don't know, because like the Spider-Man thing, he was like kind of the appeal of Spider-Man was that he was sort of balancing his personal life, you know, being Peter Parker with being a superhero, being Spider-Man. So it's kind of cool because it kind of melds the two together for the first time. But it's the article itself is really funny because it's covered as though it were an actual, like, news item. You know what I mean? Where like, the press would be invited to it, and so you're not just, like, reading from a comic book. It's, like...
Oh, that is cool.
So it's real news coverage, you know, about fake news story, told as a fake news story... That's actually really news, and so it's just weird, like, totally complicated. It makes my head hurt. But it's, you know, I thought at first that this was just like a publicity stunt, like, you know, when Superman died, and then he's like, I'm not really dead, I'm coming back, as a robot. This one really is, I don't know, I think it's like a legitimate, like, plot turn.
Well, then there was also, I mean, in the comic book world, there's been a recent, like, a lot of news stories, because didn't it just announce that Batwoman's a lesbian? Like, I found that really interesting.
You know, we need more female role models who are lesbians. in comic form.
Exactly.
No, I mean, I think the comics industry is making a really hard push to be more relevant again and try to, you know, it's not just for kids, and you know, we've kind of had this like boom of popularity with all these people that are into like adult comics. I'm not talking porno comics, yeah. But I guess I kind of am. But all the anime stuff. But this is.
I'm just saying.
I'm not gonna say it, but I'll imply it, which is just as bad. So I don't know. It's coming out. It launched in May.
It's hard. I mean, I wonder, because if we look at comics, I mean, if they really want to start grabbing more people, it's hard to. I don't know if you can mess with the originals, because if you mess with the originals. Comics have been around for so long, you know, the X-Men, Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, their stories, you know, were created in the 70s up till now, so every pretty much background story you can think of and everything from how they act to so forth has already been decided that to kind of reinvent them, I think you might end up losing the original base of fans that were like, oh, you cannot, you know, say in this episode that Spider-Man likes this, because in episode 21,
it's not even that. It's like you'll lose what is good about the comic.
Exactly. I mean, I think they really need to start almost getting on that creative table and making new superheroes and new comics. And, you know, those I think are like Spawn. Spawn's pretty recent. I feel Spawn came out in the late 90s, and that got huge, you know, because it was a new type of character. But besides Spawn, I can't even think really. Besides like Sin City or Ghost World.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of adult comic? You know, but that's not really a superhero. It's a set of characters. So.
Yeah, and also, lesbian Batwoman.
Oh, lesbian Batwoman. Sorry,
that's how she wants to be known.
Lesbo Batwoman.
Lesbo ad woman.
All right, Google Earth now offering detailed photos of sensitive military facilities. Thanks, Google. Photos of IDF bases and top secret IAF, which I have no idea what those mean, by the way, have recently become available to the public courtesy of Google's satellite imagery service, Google Earth. So I'm really surprised by this story because you've got a program that Google offers, and I myself thought it was actually data gathered from old photos from 1995 or other satellite photos that have been approved by other countries, you know, that are like, oh yeah, I want to see what our country looks like from space. Isn't that nice? There you go. Because I know they're somewhat old, because when I look at my place here in Chicago, there's a building kitty corner from my place that's there now. I'll look out my window and see it, but on the map, on Google Earth, there's nothing there. So I know it's old photos. But they obviously get new photos every now and then, because I know they just recently redid Vegas and other areas and so forth. But I'm surprised they don't get any consent from other countries. I mean, I know that there was a problem with this with China earlier, saying, hey, we don't want you taking pictures of everything in our country because there's certain things in certain places we don't want you to know about, you know. So I mean, I don't know if this is Google's like, hey, you know, it's a free world, and we should be able to see everything, or if they're just being idiots maybe, and like, oops, sorry.
Maybe we went too fast on this thing. Maybe we should calm down. I mean, it's I've wondered for a long time how they actually got the photos in the first place. Are they like, did they steal someone else's satellite?
Yeah.
Or are they just like?
Well, see, I don't know if Google has their own thing orbiting the Earth, or I don't know if it's stealing as much as they kind of say to some company, hey, here's, you know, $200,000. Can we buy photos from your satellite? So I just think it's crazy. I mean, I guess I've never really thought about secret places, because I don't know where secret places could be in the U.S. I mean, I know all about Area 51, but I've... Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I never once thought, oh yeah, I can't go to this area of America because it's restricted. It's usually, you know, inside the building where the stuff is going on.
Well, I know.
So
I know when Google Maps first launched, you couldn't see, like, they had like a big black mark over the White House and over the Capitol building, and yeah.
Really?
So you could see it, but that's now cool. Now they've removed that, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing or what. Like, so they must have like gone through security channels and said, you know, can we do this? And the White House is all, no. Here's what you can take pictures of. So, but if they were to go to every country and say, like, listen, we're gonna, you know, put pictures of your country on, is that okay? Every single country would be no.
Well, yeah, I mean, and if you look at Google Earth, I don't know if you have Google Earth on your computer, but there's a lot of the world that you can't zoom in. You know, you get to a certain, like Australia, you can't look at anywhere in Australia. You can maybe look at a little bit of Sydney.
I think they do that because
that's
all,
about it.
There's nothing to see.
nothing against Australia, but come on. Hates them. There's really nothing to see out there.
It's all, it's like for, you know,
everyone hates
other than them. Other than Sydney, there's nothing. There's no other cities, really. Melbourne is the only other one I can think of. Huh.
But I mean, even if you want to go look, like, hey, I want to see some cool wildlife of Australia. No, you can't zoom in anywhere. Yeah, you know, it's really, and it's the same. If I look at my house back in Michigan, you can't zoom in. You can't zoom in on Ann Arbor. You know, it's really interesting.
But thank God I can finally spy on Israel. Yep, I can see all the things that
I know. You know, because they've been kind of secretive lately, and I want to know. I want to know everything about Israel.
All right. My last story. I'll go through really quickly. Is Nielsen ratings digitize will add the net cell phones, iPods to their measurement data. The Nielsen Media Research said Wednesday that it would integrate TV and internet measurements, ad ratings for viewing on such portable devices as cell phones and iPods, and give a firm date of 2011 for the end of paper diaries in even the smallest markets. I think this is a kind of a big step forward for Nielsen, because for a long, long time they've been criticized because, you know, they only measure what people watch on TV, and they kind of, you know, there's so many other different ways that people consume media now. So they finally,
definitely,
think they developed their people meters that they've been talking about, which kind of takes a feed of everything and is able to collect it. So I don't know, it's a real quick story, but it's I thought it was really interesting because
I think it's great. I mean, I never understood the Nielsen's because I want to, one, know how I can get on it. Like, I want to get on that list, so they put
really
the box
don't.
Up to my TV.
It's kind of unfun. My family got asked to do it, but we were it was back when my parents owned the radio station, and so they're like, no, that's not going to work for us. We'll pay you for your time, and you get a check in the mail, $1.13. Thanks, Mr. Nielsen. Depending on what you got, you have to, like, every time you walk into the room, you have to, like, put in your code, like, I'm going to watch TV now.
And then you have the nerves of, oh God, which show do I watch? If you have two shows on, because
you want to really impress these Nielsen people,
you know, that the one you like gets the high Nielsen ratings. Well, not so much impress them, but you want them to know, like, yeah, I really like, I don't know, I really like My Name Is Earl. So you want to make sure that, you know, that gets the ratings. But at the same time, if My Name Is Earl is up against Survivor or whatever, you know, you got to kind of make these, like, really tough
and
decisions.
So when
you're
finally,
representing,
you know,
America.
When you finally select all these shows, what they don't measure are, you know, your the other things that kind of go into it, like the fact that you had a Jim Lehrer NewsHour birthday party, for example. They don't measure that. This new rating system will. In cakes.
They put rating systems in your cakes
that you eat and what type.
To check.
Apparently, this guy Eric Munn really likes King Dong cakes.
King Dong. We need to find that show.
All right, so that's my last story. Just like I said, really quick, but pretty interesting. All right, now it's time for Pimps and Hoes. Pimps and Hoes.
All right.
Pimps and Hoes. Pimps and Hoes. All right, this is the section where we list off who is kind of like the big winner and who was the big losers for the week. The pimps are the good people and the hoes. Busy.
I wish people could see me right now collars. Popping my collar.
If you hear, if, I don't. We'll do it again. I don't think everyone see if you can
get
them
collars, audible. Baby.
There, Eric just popped his collar. Big collar.
That's big collar. My knuckles hurt. All right, my PM.
Who is actually a
pimp? Is Jay-Z. Jay-Z has decided. Who's actually, yeah, in real life is a pimp, has decided to boycott Chris Style. I think this is really interesting. He read an interview with Frederick Ruzaud, who is the managing director of the company that produces Chris Style. And they had asked him, you know, what do you feel about, you know, Chris Style being the big thing amongst rappers and hip-hop and so forth and so on. And he was like, well, you know, it's okay. I mean, what can we really do about it? We can't forbid people from buying it. And so Jay-Z's kind of like, what? You know, if it weren't for us, you wouldn't even be popular, you know. And, you know, thanks to rap videos and so forth, the sales of Chris Style have probably increased. And Chris Style's pretty much saying,
yeah,
well,
good
we
for
don't
him.
Really want
I mean,
so Jay-Z's boycotting it. I think that's pretty pimp. That he's like, you know, we don't want this? Fine. Now he's going
to
be in every
really
video with Boone's
Farm. You know, first... yeah, it's just going to be him drinking
Boone's Farm
like,
and Mentos.
A geyser of foam. And my DC.
All my bitches like my Mentos.
No, I mean, it's good for him. Like, way to... I mean, that's sort of, like, subtle racism. And I'm really, like, glad that he kind of stood up to that. You know? I hear that George Bush hates black people. So, you know... this, and now Chris Dahl hates black people. There's a... I just hear these things. It's very strange. I've heard...
I just hear these things.
I don't understand why these people would hate them. Very strange. My pimp for the week is eBay.
Who's your pimp?
Because they introduced their new eBay wiki, which I don't know if you've seen.
Oh, really?
Which is really hot.
I am not. How hot is
it's
it?
Just, it's for those of you that don't know, a wiki is a site that can be edited by anyone and tracks the changes over time, so you can go back and say, like, wait a minute, this guy just deleted everything, revert to last save version. And so eBay introduces like big
oh,
wiki
that's cool.
service, so you can kind of log on and see, like, you know, there's like eBay policies, eBay stores, category specific stuff, and so you click on category specific, and it's like, if I could pull it up, I wish my computer wasn't so slow. I could just demonstrate it quickly. Like for example, like the first page is a definition of eBay sniping, which is all the people who like go on at the last minute,
whoa,
bid like 1 cent higher, and win it because there's no time left. But I don't know. There's like thousands of
thousands of
different categories, and then you know people put on like, you know, be wary of this guy or. But it's like kind of, you know, eBay was sort of like a social community for a long time, This is kind of just expanding that social aspect of it. And they also own Skype.
That's very so that pound.
For those people that both use Skype, when you buy something, you'd be like, you just won this. Call this person now. And so you can call them and be like, listen, I just bought your thing. How are we going to do it?
That's
like,
hot.
I'm stealing your money. That's I thought you very knew this. Hot. And then you're like, oh, damn. I'm going to wiki your ass. I want to wiki the shit out of your ass.
I want to wiki someone's ass. So bad.
So that's...
So now when I buy the stolen camera from a kid in Nigeria, exactly. I can Skype them and go, hey.
You Skyped
you
the shit
Skyped
out of
my
me.
Wiki ass.
All right. Who is your hoe?
My hoe is a very big hoe this week. It's the Supreme Court. That's right. You know, as much as I should respect the Supreme Court, they just ruled in a 5-4 decision that police don't have to knock when they come into your house. So it's pretty much, you know, it really upsets me because police in general, we need police, obviously. We need law and protection. But there's so many that are power hungry. And if we now allow this, they're just going to kick in doors and so forth. And I know people who've had their doors kicked in.
Who are you hanging out with, Eric?
Certain things. We won't get into it. But, you know, the police have no...
In Nigeria.
I hang out with wiki asses. So I'm getting into Nigeria. No, when your door is busted in, it's not like the state of, you know, Mississippi, wherever you're at, has to pay for it. You know, it's kind of like, oh, your door's busted. Thanks. See ya. We were looking for, you know, this guy and he's not here, but we kicked your door in. So, I don't know. I think this is crazy that, you know, they don't have to knock at all. Like a policeman can just walk into your house if he has a warrant. It's just crazy.
Especially if I'm busy being naked.
Yeah.
And taking pictures of other naked people that happen to be 13.
I saw you on Dateline, Greg.
Dun, dun, dun.
Who's your hoe?
My hoe is also political. It's President Bush. Or his stunt that he pulled this week. Now, I don't know. I know you're kind of out of touch because you're in LA all weekend. But I don't know if you saw this on Wednesday. President Bush comes back from Iraq. He made a surprise visit to Iraq. Was only there for a couple hours, and then came back to the U.S. right away. Well, right when he came back, he gave a press conference. And you know,
I saw this, and it's one of those like moments where you're kind of just like stop talking right now. Yeah. You're digging yourself deeper, yeah. And it hurts.
So what happened was he got asked by Peter Walston, who is with someplace. This is what he says. Bush says, "Are you going to ask your question with shades on?" And the guy's wearing sunglasses. They're outside, and Walston's like, "Yes, I can take them off if you like." And he says, "Well, no. I'm kind of digging the shade look," and everyone kind of laughs uncomfortably and says, "For those of you at home, there's no sun out here." And he says, and the guy at Peter says, "Well, I guess, you know, that depends on your perspective." And everyone kind of laughs at that, and Bush goes, "Well, touche. Anyway, your question." Well, it turns out Peter Walston is legally blind.
Zing!
Zing! And, you know, Bush later apologized to him.
Excuse me, but, sir. Are you going to ask me that question with that dog next to you?
What? Do you mind putting down your white stick with the red on the end of it?
Excuse me, are you going to ask me that question with a wheelchair? Oh, shoot, you're crippled? Whoa!
Didn't see that coming. But I was talking about this with Andy this week, and he made a good point, that it's indicative of a larger problem with the president, is that he's kind of kind of giving it to the press. Kind of, he called it needling. Because if you saw other clips from the that same interview, he kind of gives everyone like a little bit of a hard time before they ask their question. But it's just, it's kind of strange that he's so like willing to be like, hey, I'm needling you guys, to like, to the professionals who carry his message and, you know, send his, send everything that he says like out to the public.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can also look at it in that it's, you know, it's kind of like a quid pro quo though, because, you know, they needle him on certain, you know, depending upon their questions. I would think if I have to pick people in the U.S. that get the most questions and get a lot of them, it would be presidents. So
yeah.
I could see it being a quid pro quo. I just think, you know, I think the bigger issue is blind people need to go back to wearing the big sunglasses so we know you're blind.
The Ray Charles sunglasses?
Yeah. Like the blue blockers. Because I need to know you're blind.
That's another thing, because the fact that, so okay, like I see your point about, you know, like he kneel, but like the fact that he doesn't know them at all, like you kind of know when someone's blind. Like he's obviously had no interaction with this guy, and he's not
exactly,
this Peter Walson is not a new guy on the press corps, so he clearly has had zero interaction with these people, so.
Yeah.
It's a bigger problem. All right, that's my hole of the week. You got all right. This is the TWWWF things with whom we wish we were friends. This is the section where we the cool website, a cool thing out there that we are in awe of and wish we were friends with.
My TWWWF is that enough W's? I can never remember.
I just kind of say W's until it.
I say W's until my tongue falls out. is joblow.com. It's joblo.com. This guy's a great guy. He's a movie critic, but he's uber into movies. That he has a great. Everything he does has an RSS feed, which I love because I've gone into this mode that I think you've talked about before, Greg. If a website doesn't have an RSS feed, I don't check it anymore. You know, right. If it doesn't have some sort of reminder that it's been updated, I don't even check it. And he has everything RSS, so he's got a list of all his. Every time he puts a new movie review up, it's up. He's got scripts online that he's found available. He has DVD release dates. He has everything, desktop, wallpapers for movies, you know. I mean, this guy's really cool, and he's really funny, and he gives really good reviews, and he must have some celebrity status, or I don't know, some clout, because he recently gave a lot of reviews for movies that were shown at the Cannes Film Festival, because he was there. So, it's a really cool site. I like it.
That's cool. And I like kind of the format of it.
It's a great setup. He's got tons of movie news. I mean, he finds out stuff, you know, while it's in the pre-drawing board phase. You know, it's really cool.
That's cool. I haven't heard of this one, so I'll definitely check it out. My TWWWF is Ask a Ninja. I don't know if you've heard of this.
I hadn't until you mentioned it a little bit ago, and yeah, very, very interesting.
It's a video podcast where, you know, people send in questions and then they're answered by a guy as a ninja. And I was real hesitant for like a long time because, you know, the ninja thing's kind of been played out. It's been done. It's like ninja.
But yeah, and you also run the risk of, okay, this will be funny the first three times.
Right.
You know, that's what I was nervous of. It's like, okay, we get it. You're a ninja. And people are going to write in and go, how do you make a cake? It's like, this is how a ninja makes a cake. You know, I thought it was going to be really stupid. Like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
But
it's actually very funny, and it's.
Exactly.
I think every episode has been very funny. But it's like the editing of it is great. It's real, like, quick cuts, you know, like a ninja. And it's very funny. He likes to end every episode with, "That was a great question. I look forward to killing you soon."
That's how we should end our show. Thanks for listening. We look forward to killing you all.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you in hell. That's officially how we're going to end the show. Okay. Glad everyone.
I liked last podcast, the TWWF of the guy that has the podcast on the moon.
Oh yeah, did you check that out?
Yeah, I loved how he ends it. That is hilarious.
It's cold and lonely on the moon. So yeah, and then they actually just came out with the Asking Ninja people just came out with a new podcast called Hope Is Emo, which looks like, you know, I'm a 16-year-old goth girl and like life is so hard and I'm so emo. I'm really into Death Cab for Cutie, and it's really funny because it's just making fun of that whole culture, which I love making fun of. And like the first episode, she's like, "So I was leaving class and someone knocked a chalk eraser off the little pocket thing, and there's this like puff of smoke, and it really made me cry because think of like how many words that represents." what if love? Imagine how many times love has been erased in my life, and in everyone's life, and that's just wrong. And beauty. Imagine erasing. It's just they kind of go on. They riff on it.
Oh my god!
It's so like dead on parody.
That's hilarious and sad.
Yeah.
At the same time, because there are people that think they're that deep.
Yep.
You know, coming from that rich suburb.
Oh yeah, their life is so hard.
It's so hard, Greg.
It's so hard. So yeah, definitely check out Ask a Ninja because it's a lot funnier than I expected it to be.
All right, well that is all our stories for this week. Please look at all our links and more at our awesome website, whatevs.net. That's whatevs.net. And if you want to check out my stories, Eric's stories, Eric the Birthday Boy, King Dong's stories, go to the Delicious page, delicious.com/knowledgeispower/Eric. And to spell delicious, it's DEL.ICIO.US.
And if you want to check out all my stories, you can check them out either on whatevs.net or delicious.com/knowledgeispower/Greg.
Greg, it's great to be back.
It's great to have you back. I'm not going to lie.
Thank you. Listeners, thank you for listening.
And have a happy birthday, Eric.
Thank you. Everyone, we will see you next week.
See you in hell, everyone.
See you in hell, everyone. Bye.